Are we on the air, Don? Huh? It's Wynn. It's Wynn. Are we on the air? Okay, I just want to make sure we start our call. Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, we are on BBS. And, got a question.
Unmuted.
How many of you... Oh, I've been muted, everybody.
Muted.
How many of you are going to be listening to George Norrie tonight? Let me hear a yes.
Unmuted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't
miss it.
Muted.
I wish I could miss it.
Hey, Barry.
Okay, I think we're on BBS. So, hi, should I mute? Should I mute the tones? I should do it, right?
I got it.
Okay. And I'll start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Wynn Free. See, I can't remember my name. It's 9:07 p.m. Pacific time on December 21st.
807.
Yeah, thank you. 907 Arizona time, which I'm in. 807 on December 21st, 2012. And, of course, this is a date that many people have been anticipating, many people are talking about. And I have this unusual experience for the last 10 years of talking, communicating to these intelligences. Now, let me just say they're intelligences in other dimensions. Because when you're talking to an invisible something that you can't see, you can't necessarily believe they are who they say they are. So you have to test it. I had to test it to see, do I trust them? Are they consistent? What do they want? Why are they talking to me? And, of course, one of the things that caught my attention very quickly was the fact that it was in 2002, and I was in the midst of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I had met a new friend who would start channeling spontaneously and telling me those guys want to talk to you. And I had this, I didn't know what to make of it. I only know they said they created the physical universe. They explained how they worked. They called themselves the Council of Elohim. And all they did was say, ask us questions. They didn't lecture me. They didn't make me prostrate myself. And I was very curious about this. I was a physics major at one time. And so I asked a series of very intelligent questions. And one of the things I was asking a lot about the book I was writing and the premises of the book. Because the book was very much talking about this shift that we're in 2012, and what was going on. And they gave me the same answers as was coming through David Wilcock's source, who was the subject of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Well, that really caught my attention, because when you have information that's out there and that you can't personally validate, it's hard to believe it. You don't necessarily have to disbelieve it, but how do you know that it's true? And I didn't. I said, I'm writing the book and people can make up their own minds. So now I have this intelligence talking to me and confirming everything that's in the book. And they are also explaining how they operate. And what they said was, we have the ability to project what they called love light energy into your realm and make connection with you. Well, I didn't know what that meant, and I just put it in my table of transcripts and table of things I was saving. And I think we did about 12 or 13 sessions in the first 6 months. And then the woman, her name is Daphne, who was bringing forth those messages, was scared of it and was having negative attacks or going through personal changes that were uncomfortable. And she left. And I thought, that's the end of it. And then, a few weeks later, I was with my friend Terry. And Terry had sat through one of these sessions with Daphne. I wanted somebody to witness it. And the next thing happened is Terry said, I'm feeling this pressure in my head, and I hear this voice in my head, and they started talking to me through Terry, and I continued my questions. Now, quite frankly, it took me about 2 months to say, I think maybe they really are the same intelligence. And I continued asking. I mean, I'm not going to tell you all the stories. It's in my book. If you haven't read the book, you should read the book, because the only way to validate that anything I say is true is by studying my story, studying their messages, studying all the phenomena, seeing how it connects up with previous things like Jesus, like the Bible. But it's not Jesus or the Bible. It's in this moment, but it's connected. And these sources say they have played the part of God sometimes in our history. They say they're not God in the way humans normally think of God. They explain themselves completely differently. But over time, I had this experience. The first time I had it was when I gave a talk in 2004, when the book first came out. And I was in San Diego, and there was all this energy in the room that I could see. I could see it. It was like a light surrounding people. And I said, I wonder what that is. And when people left the room, they went to buy the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and they lined up to Terry. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Terry was selling books, and they were saying, God, I could see the energy. I could see auras. That must be what people talk about when they talk about seeing the light. And I later asked them, and I said, could you explain that energy that was in the room? And they said that was them. They were helping. And I remembered how they said they could project love light into the room, and I had the experience of it. So this has been going on, you know, for 10 years, and I have been learning how to use this connection in a way that some people get great benefit. And on these calls, on this call that you're on right now over the next 2 hours, you are going to hear a message from this source live from both Daphne, I think, and Terry. Daphne said she would be on. And they're going to address us about this particular day that's happening right now and the significance. Now, I'll give you a quick, I may repeat some of this on George Norrie, so excuse me if I do, but I'm doing this as an introductory thing because we invited people to invite people to this call. So what's happening is, according to these sources, all of them, they all have the same point of view about what I'm sharing, is that the universe is basically one energy, and that energy radiates from a central point in the universe, and everything in the universe is that energy in different forms, including you and me. And early on in the creation of the universe, beings were aware that they were part of each other. And at a certain point, there became this veil of forgetfulness, and particularly beings on Earth started to lose that connection, that awareness of being all the same energy. And when you start to go into that experience, you start seeing people as part of yourself. And you have compassion, and you have care, because even though you're in a separate body, you see that other people are expressions of that same energy, and that they're separated, and they're alienated, and that because we're at the end of a cycle, that energy that flows through the universe has peaks and valleys. And those peaks and valleys come over long periods of time. So there is a 75,000-year cycle where there is a peak in that energy. And it doesn't happen today. It's been building up to today. And it doesn't stop after today. It continues. And we are in that flow of energy right now. And what happens when that energy hits a peak is it gives speeded up evolutionary capabilities for all of us. We can speed our evolution up as souls when we're in this energy. But you have to know how to do it to make it work, because you have to be able to receive those energies. You need to be able to feel those energies. And that is one of the things we've been doing on our conference calls, that we have been bringing in this energy in a way that people start to feel it, who attend our calls regularly. Some people feel it the first time, some people after a few times, and sometimes they get emails from people after 6 months, they say, I got it. And this energy is conscious, it's aware, it's alive, and it pays attention to you. And at the top end of the energy that we feel on this line are these group souls who are able to project love light into this realm. And so I came to the conclusion that my most important function was to be able to be a bridge between them and us so that people could experience that energy. And when you experience that energy, it can put your life into a high gear of transformation. And it's always something that you have to do, you have to want, you have to trust. So you have to check it out really carefully to make sure that you do trust it, because they won't violate your free will. And the importance of this, if my story is correct, if what they say is correct, is really important. Because of this high degree of energy that's flowing into our solar system, into us, and into our planet, Remember I said it gives you opportunities to evolve faster than ever before in your history, in your evolutionary history? And I'm assuming and that reincarnation is real, and that everyone on this line has gone through many lifetimes that they don't remember, including me. But I've had unusual ways where a few of my lifetimes were validated to me that would stand up in a court of law if I gave the evidence. So I know reincarnation is real. And we keep coming back because our energies are connected with this planet, and we need to keep fulfilling our own destiny. Well, what's happening is the Earth is also alive. The Earth has a consciousness, and we are part of the Earth's consciousness. We are in the field of the Earth. In other words, the Earth has an energy, and our energies are in the field of the Earth's energies. But oftentimes, we're separated from that. We don't feel it. We don't know it. But it's true. The Indians, the Native Americans, very much are aware of those connections. And the Earth decided she was going to go through a spiritual evolution because of this new energy. If you're familiar with the word chakra, the Earth is moving from being a third chakra planet to being a fourth chakra planet, which means it's going from power and individuality to compassion and empathy. The power and individuality is the nature of the third chakra. And compassion is the nature of the fourth chakra. In your body, it's the solar plexus and the heart. Well, some people have located what they say are chakra points on Earth, but I don't validate that. But nonetheless, as a general principle, the Earth is moving to a new paradigm. And in order to move with the Earth, your heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half. And otherwise, you don't fit into this new Earth. And what these sources are saying is that you have to repeat the lessons of the third chakra and go. You get moved to another planet by the very sources we're talking to. They do these movements and repeat third chakra lessons until you get another chance to move up into the fourth chakra. And some people will go higher, the fifth chakra, sixth chakra, seventh chakra. And if you haven't read my books, I suggest you eat them up, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, because you need to validate me. You need to kick my tires. Decide if what I said was really true, because if it is, you're going to be highly motivated to open up your fourth chakra. And that's exactly what we do on our calls. We give loads of stuff away for free. We have hundreds of our calls available for free download at thespiritchannel.net. And you have to take advantage of it and see how it resonates. And if it doesn't, just quit. Be sure and test it before you decide to quit. Because if you notice, what I'm saying is kind of a esoteric explanation for the prophecies of Jesus. One will be taken, one will be left behind. There's a new earth, and this new earth is the fourth chakra. Some people call it the fourth density earth. And we are talking directly to those sources right on these phone calls. And you can listen to them over and over and over again until either you decide we're full of it or it's the most important thing you ever discovered. Because I can't tell you that. It has to be your discovery. I can only share my experience as honestly as I can. And I know there's hundreds and hundreds of people whose life patterns have changed as a result of connecting with this work. So my job is to intrigue you to be curious. And on these calls, we do three different calls a week. And our Sunday call, this is like our Sunday call, we call it a planetary and personal healing session. And we do a group visualization to bring these energies in, and that many people feel the energy during that visualization. We have a moment where people can bring the energies into their own bodies, and some people experience healings or lifting of depressions. All kinds of things happen on these calls. But the important thing is, it doesn't matter what happens to someone else. It matters what happens to you. And let me see here. We have loads of people on the line, and we have a number of people listening on BBS Radio. And this is a two-hour call. And, you know, I would normally, if we were going to go on ad infinitum tonight, I'd stop and see if there's any questions, because I know there's new people listening. In most cases, if you go to our archive website, thespiritchannel.net, and you do a search, it's got a searchable thing through all of our archives, and we have hundreds of archives of these conversations and me talking and explaining things. And if you go there and do a search, you put in your topic, you might just find your answer, okay? Because, for example, on our Wednesday night call, people submit questions, and we ask the questions, and they answer them live, right on the call. So, and you're welcome to take advantage of that yourself. But it's best to do it after you study our material and get into it a little bit, because your questions, oh, God, I used to let all the questions through, and people would say, well, should I marry John or Joe? Should I move here? One of the things about this work is that it's meant to empower you. It's not meant to take you over. It's not meant to make decisions for you. It's meant to teach you how to make decisions. In this realm, there's a predisposition for people to want to give up their power. When anything goes wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's this fault. It's that fault. And sometimes we become a victim of circumstances. But all of it is designed to, should be designed to empower you so that you learn to have discernment, that you can tell negative from positive, that you can make the connection to the frequencies of these higher dimensions and realize that you are not just your little body. Your spirit lives in your body, and your spirit can fly, potentially. Your spirit can be as big as the solar system. And learning how to expand yourself and learning how to get over the limitations that we all have in this earthly life we have. And one of the main great points about this shift and about this high point that we're at, and this end of a cycle, is that never in the history of mankind, never has there been such an opportunity to use your intentions to transform yourself, to get over your karmic patterns. Because what happens is, your intentions to do that, start to resonate into higher dimensions, and you start accessing parts of yourself that you've lost track of. But it won't happen unless you make the intention for it to happen, unless you passionately desire for it to happen. Otherwise, you're just going to be an audience, and you're not going to empower yourself, and you're going to be following me or something else. And I'm not here to follow. I'm here to set an example, to bring forth the wisdom of the higher realms, to give you tools to transform yourself. And, you know, we give the most important things away for free. So I'm not trying to suck you in to come to an expensive workshop or travel to a beautiful place and have a weekend retreat for $1,000. I'm not saying I won't ever do that. But people won't need to do that to get the most important things in this work. Because 3 times a week, we're showing up and we're talking about it over and over and over again. We're asking questions to get guidance, and they're actually answering right on this call. So please take advantage of this for your own self, for the good of the people you care about, and the good of the planet at large. Because if you're here now, you can do it. You can have an open heart. Oh, having an open heart does not mean being a nice person or a charitable person. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be those things. It doesn't mean wearing your heart on your sleeve so everyone takes advantage of you. Having an open heart is a projection from you, energy, into the space around you that automatically uplifts the energy around you. If you have a relationship, you may have experienced this in your relationship. You may not have. It's certainly a good place to experience it, but it's not the same as personal love. It's unconditional love that you radiate from your being that other people can feel. It's like, I'm sure you've all had the experience of having a stranger smile at you, and they were so genuine in their smile that it went right through you and lit you up. That's an open heart. That's an example of an open heart. And you can do it. I know many of you are going through obstacles, constrictions, fear, the world's changing, and those are all your challenges to work through. And you know what? If I have it right, that's exactly what you've gone through for 100 lifetimes. And the difference between right now is because of this high energy, you can actually work it through and fast. Just takes your intention, your desire to work it through, and one, I believe our calls are offering one of the best ways that can assist, but it's not the only way. You have to find ways that resonate with you. And if you feel stuck in yourself and going around in circles, your intention has to be to find the thing that's bigger than your circle and plug into it. I'd like to introduce you to Terry Brown. And if you've checked out my website, you know, one of the things, there's a number of things that convinced me that what was happening was real. And one of them had to do when I asked a question about Terry, and they indicated that I should look up St. Catherine of Siena and saying Catherine of Siena had a was connected with Terry. Well, I wasn't sure what they were implying, but I did look up St. Catherine, and I found the story of this young woman who would go into the local church, and they would write down everything she said, because the priests and the nuns thought that God was speaking to them through her, and St. Catherine's dialogues with God became an official part of Catholic history, still available on Amazon. And as I learned in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, as I was writing the book about David Wilcock, people tend to look like their past lives. David Wilcock was the spitting image of Edgar Cayce, and Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. And I started to see it's not about exalting her or anyone because of a past life they had. It's about looking at the way that these sources in higher dimensions try to find people down here to work with that can operate without getting self-aggrandizing. They can operate with humility, because oftentimes when they talk to the wrong people, it gets screwed up. And many of you have gotten to know Terry, and even when I say these things about her publicly, she has absolutely no ego with it, and she is, like, dedicated to the work we're doing. And if it wasn't for Terry, we wouldn't be doing this. And if it wasn't for Daphne, we wouldn't be doing this. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You want to say anything? Would you like to say anything about what I just shared or anything?
Well, it's exciting. These times are exciting, and doing this work is exciting. Bringing through the messages and getting to know the Elohim and the Ra group better and better is a big growth experience for me. And I'm making a lot of personal advances just by being in contact with them. And I'm sitting here in the living room with a pink blanket over me that's the same color as the Elohim color. Sometimes when I connect with the Elohim, it's like they show me the pink color. And sometimes the pink color shows up in pictures, too. We've got some pictures of wind. And there's a picture of Daphne, too, where the pink, this light pink color is all around them. There is one amazing picture where Wynn is in Philadelphia and he's calling in the light on a government building, and the whole building is has pink all over the top and around the sides. I mean, like the sky silhouetted with this same light pink color. We've got more pictures too of Wynn with that. So it's really exciting. Like the time we went to Ventura or Santa Barbara, and I was trying to take a picture of him, and the picture he didn't like how the picture was coming out, and he couldn't get the right expression and everything. So we called in the light, and then we took some more pictures, and he still didn't like the pictures. But we looked at the pictures later, and before we called in the light, his sweater was white, and afterwards it was pink all over his chest. So there's been some amazing clues here.
Actually, we got an email from someone a couple of months ago who heard about this. He was listening to one of our meditations, and while he was listening, his computer was tuned to RealPlayer. And he had like this black RealPlayer icon on his screen. And while he was listening, it turned pink. And he sent me an email. He took a screenshot of it and sent it. So, there is all this phenomena. But more than the phenomenon, getting all this. Are you hearing noise, Terry, on the line?
There's a hum coming in.
Is it really bad?
It just started.
Is it gone now?
No, it's gone. Yeah.
I hear it coming and going. Well, basically, we do get a lot of phenomena. We do get people feeling energies. And most of all are the people whose lives change. It's like, this is not about magic and feeling energies and saying, wow, it's magic. It's not. At the higher realms, things are magic. At the higher realms, there's not limitations that we have here. So things can shift very quickly. So when we connect to the higher realms, when we connect our consciousness to the higher realms, things can shift for us. And the amazing thing about this work is the emails I get from people whose lives have shifted, who I don't even know them. They sent me an email, and they show up on our calls, and they're listening for a year, and they tell me, I'm getting along with my husband. Terry, you're making background noise. Stay still. I'm getting along with my husband. I put my son in the light, and the next day he called me. My breast cancer went away. Thank you so much. And we are like a consistent support system. We are here 3 times a week. And, you know, it's like, I actually didn't want this much responsibility, but as it unfolded, I couldn't figure out any way to be of the highest service without doing that. And so we're doing that for all of you and for us and for the planetary evolution. And so far, you can count on us. And what I'd like to do now is, this is supposed to be a mock-up of what we do every Sunday, except every Sunday I don't say everything I just said to you, because it's the same group of people, and they've heard it, and they're participating, and many of those people have learned to feel the energies, and act. Sometimes we use the term ground crew. Many of the people who are attracted to this work actually came from higher dimensions and volunteered to take a body in this dimension to be of service here. And one of the highest ways of being of service, maybe it is the highest way, is to develop an energy link between yourself and these higher dimensions and these intelligences. Now, there's not that many people that can hear them talk or can translate the energy into words. That's a fairly exceptional ability, which even I don't have. But we are lucky to have two people who are paying attention and working with us, both Daphne and Terry. And Terry more consistently than Daphne, but Daphne, they're both extraordinary, and they both have the ability to translate the words from the higher dimensions into this dimension. And we can feel the energies and learn really to become friends with these new energies. They become an added tool to our own lives in every way, shape, and form. And probably it's part of what helps you to graduate this realm. When you start feeling the connection with the energies of the higher realms. So I did this meditation or this visualization probably a few years ago on the call, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. and the people on the line could feel the energies. So what we're going to do is do one of those meditations right now, and we're going to participate in the creation of what I call group energy. And we're temporarily, if you want to participate, you can just listen to the words, and you can just, if you're evaluating us, just evaluate. But if you actually want to participate, if it feels comfortable, let yourself go, and you may feel what I'm trying to put into words. So I'd like you all to put your feet on the floor or on your bed with your soles down, touching the floor. And we're working with the principle that the whole universe is one energy, and the earth is part of that energy, and the earth is alive, and the earth knows we're here. But we usually don't connect with that. So we're going to try to connect with the energy of the earth. I want you just to use your imagination and go with where I take you, and see the earth radiating energy from the center of herself through all her levels and through the floor and into your feet. And you might feel a tingling. You might feel a heightened awareness of your feet. And if you do, consider the possibility that you've made connection with the energy of the earth. And you can say, "I love you," to the earth. Try it in quietly or out loud. "I love you, earth. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you for putting up with mankind in all the ways you've been abused. And we can take that energy from the earth and move it up through your body, through your legs, through your calves, through your groin, through your solar plexus, through your chest, through your neck, into your head. And it's like a finger of energy from the earth connecting with you. And now we're going to move the energy through the top of our head. And I want you to imagine that your energy is focused 1 foot above your head. And now move it up to the ceiling. And through the ceiling. And through the roof. If you have any floors in between, just move right on through to the roof. And through the top of the roof. Through the sky. Above the clouds, above the ionosphere, above that place called the veil, where we forget everything. Move it through the veil and keep moving it up, up, and away. And eventually, there's a place where we touch each other. There was a time when you were not an individuated soul. You were part of the energy of all that is, and you individuated. Every one of us individuated, and we were innocent and new. And then we came and descended into this realm, and we had many, many lifetimes here. And we all got corrupted because of the way this realm is. It tends to corrupt us. So we're moving up into the place where we just began. and we can all touch each other there. We can blend, braid. This is the place that the poets, the artists, the spiritual people talk about, where we are one. We actually are one in that place. Down here, we're separate. And we're both places at the same time. That's the key to being able to expand yourself, to be able to be in the place where you're one and realize you're still separated into a body and that you can move back and forth. You're not stuck. There's times when you need to be separated. There's times when you need to get into arguments and fights and protect yourself, and people are violating you. And the next moment, you can move back into the state of oneness where you can see everything from that vantage point. Now, let's imagine that we've really established ourselves in another dimension right now, and we're going to invite our group soul sources to join with us. Remember, they're also part of us. It's all one. Just like the earth is part of us underneath us, they're part of us above us. And they're way high. They can feel, they can talk, they can sense us, but they don't have bodies. And they don't have encumbrances. And they are more powerful than we are. And this realm got screwed up. And they look for the opportunities to help fix things. And this work we're doing is giving them an opportunity. So we invite them to join us. And you might be noticing a very uplifted feeling in your body. You are making connection. We're going to bring the energy back down from this group energy that we have created. That's us and them. And we're going to move it back down through the cosmos, through the ionosphere, through the clouds, through the roof, through your ceiling, and right back into the top of your head. Now, this is a good point to ask for something. They say they're telepathic. They say that when we make this connection like this, they can feel you. So while they're feeling you, ask for things that you need for the highest good. Help me find the job. Heal this. Help me with my son. I'm not promising it's all going to happen, but we do have things happening on these calls. One time we were doing a call, and in the middle of Terry bringing through a message, they said hello to this very strange name. I can't remember her name. Do you remember her name, Terry?
Hi. It was...
It started with a B, I think. Well, in any case, it was a foreign-sounding name.
Batul.
And Terry said it. She kept asking him, do you really want me to say that? And they kept saying yes. And then the next day I get an email from this lady in Turkey, who's an artist, who said, they said hello to me on the line. Well, these are the kinds of things that keep happening, that keep validating for me that they really are paying attention to us. and they're paying attention to you. And if you're not afraid to be paid attention to, if you are, you know what? You don't have to feel guilty about things you've done, because they're not judgmental. Some people think, God, if they're really looking inside me, I hope they never see this, and I hope they don't see that. This is a time to go through all those things that you feel bad about yourself and let it go, and not to judge yourself, because they do not judge you. Anyone can have a total change, no matter what they've done in the past. So we bring this energy through the top of your head, and we're going to move it down through your body. Through your chest. And usually, while we're focusing on our chest, we can take the opportunity to forgive those people who have trespassed on us, those people that have hurt us, abandoned us, disregarded us, didn't give you the love you needed, that stole money from you. You know what? You're not forgiving them to be good. You're not forgiving them because they're nice people. You're forgiving them so that you don't have to hold that energy in your heart. If you recall, your heart has to be open slightly more than half to graduate this realm. And if you're carrying around all this resentment for other people that did things to you, you are keeping your heart closed down. And that's exactly what you need to free yourself up from. You can also forgive yourself, because there's all these things that you've done, we've all done. Don't feel bad about it. We've all done it. I've done it in other lifetimes, I'm sure. And that's why I can understand it. Forgive yourself and let it go. And let that energy flood into your heart right now. And let it flood into your solar plexus, your power chakra, and your genitals. Let go of any shame you have attached to your sexuality. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be promiscuous. It doesn't mean you're supposed to just do it. You know, sexuality at its best is an expression of higher love. And it's also part of the animal body. It's reconciling it all so that you can understand how to relate to that part of yourself. It's best to have a partner and to express with that partner. But in my belief, there's not good or bad. Just don't hurt other people. Somebody said that was an inspiration to me some years ago. They said, if you're not going to have a permanent relationship with someone, a life relationship, make sure if you leave them, you leave them better than you found them, and then you don't get any karma. If you are always letting people love you and abandoning them, you become responsible for their hurt karmically, and you have to carry it around, and it becomes another thing to clog your heart up, block your heart. So everyone has to figure out how to make this work themselves. And we move through our legs and back into the center of the earth. And right now, look at what we've created. Your body is in the middle of this huge energy. And the energy goes all the way up through the dimensions and all the way down to the earth. And that is who you are at this moment. You have stepped into a higher experience of yourself. Now, you're not going to hold it. You're going to go back to your life. You're going to say, what just happened? But if you keep coming to these calls, if you do learn how to keep asking for help, you'll learn how to bring this energy in yourself. So we're going to have them address us through Terry on this December 21st Mayan calendar end date. I'm just curious, is Daphne on the line? Well, we'll see if Daphne shows up. Now, what I just did in that visualization is I called in the light. I brought in the light. And we did it together. I didn't actually do it. I'm like the orchestra leader. And you all cooperated. And you're all playing your parts. And we actually have created energy that exists, that is changing the universe, that's changing our planet, just because we did that. And I have a little way of doing that in shorthand, which is calling in the light. So I'm going to call in the light, and Terry is going to bring a message in. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources to speak with us through Terry Brown. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. This is December 21st, 2012. And we are connecting, and we are sensing planet Earth. We sense the decorations. We actually see decorations. And we welcome each and every one of you, and we are delighted to make the connection. It is in our realm, we connect very rarely with individuals who have come into the third density, as our vibrations are so high, so frequency high, that we have a gap in general between our frequencies and the grounding frequencies of Earth. Therefore, we have also welcomed the Ra group to be with us in our contact, which increases our frequency, as the Ra group have had incarnations individually into Earth plane type planets. So this gives us a broader range of frequency with which to appear. We do not appear in person, we appear as an energy source. We look at planet Earth at this time. We hear Christmas music. We see individuals that are yearning for connection. And this time of year is a time of connection, a time of remembering one's friends. And it is so touching to be able to see this within the framework of planet Earth. It lifts the tone of planet Earth. We see during this time, there are some individuals who have thought that the end of the world was coming. We speak in a generality there because the world goes on, although civilizations come and go, the world, the Earth, goes on. We see a number of people have so believed that it is the end of the world that they have given up paying debts. They have given up hope that there will be a future. And these individuals are going to have to face reality when this does not happen at this time, and they are confronted by their debts and their responsibilities as life goes on. We see some individuals who have a different viewpoint in that if they were going to be leaving the Earth plane, they would wish to have all their debts and obligations and responsibilities wrapped up and taken care of instead of left in the middle. We do not see that there is going to be some kind of an energy end of the world on the Earth. And we see that the world goes on. We are looking probably 3 years into the future on this. We do see that the Earth, the peoples of Earth, have commitments to economic systems that are beginning to fray, and that there can be a whole new paradigm arise as the male energy at this point is becoming more vulnerable and connecting to the female side, and the female energy is beginning to come in to offer more nurturing, more caring at this point to individuals within the Earth plane. Those are our opening statements, and we turn it back over to Winfrey.
Thank you very much. And I don't see Daphne on the line. Are you on the line, Daphne?
I am here, yes.
You're there. Okay. How long have you been here?
Oh, about 20 minutes. Oh, actually, about 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. We have a number of new people on the line. If you read my book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, which is available for a free download, which I highly, highly, highly recommend, you'll hear, you can read the story of how this all evolved for me. And you'll realize that I was just another guy that took a right turn instead of going straight and ended up in this unusual situation, and that I had to figure out myself what it meant, what the significance was. And Daphne is the person that started the ball rolling on the famous rainy night when we were driving from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and I did a prayer of protection, and at the end of the prayer, I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And I said it like a joke, because I was in the middle of writing this book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I was fascinated with this idea of interdimensional communication. And when I said, does anybody want to talk to me, Daphne answered. And she said something to the effect, we're here. Do you have questions? Well, I thought she was playing along with me. I thought she was joking. But I asked some questions, and it didn't sound like her. And afterwards, she said, that was really strange. And then a few days later, we were in Portland, and we tried it again, and our tape recorded it. And that was the famous first recorded conversation. Now, I should mention that Daphne has always been a sensitive. She did readings for people at a metaphysical bookstore in Mountain View, I believe, called East West Books. And I don't think she knew who was talking through her, but I suspect that she was channeling when she did those readings, because she became the most popular reader in the store. And then when we got together, these voices that she had heard all her life suddenly found a way to identify themselves in a more clear manner. And for 6 months, whatever else we were doing, she would say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I would pull out the tape recorder and ask questions. And many of those original sessions are in the Creator God book. And the amazing thing that was happening was that I was asking all these questions about stuff that was coming through David Wilcock, about this shift. And I would ask Daphne, or these sources through Daphne, and they would give this exactly the same answers as were coming through David Wilcock. So, and of course, she was scared by it, and she was having all kinds of experiences that were disharmonious, and she left, and a few weeks later, Terry started channeling, and it's very, very special to have Daphne on the line and to have these sources speak through both people. And one of the things you'll notice is, although they identify themselves as the same source, they are working through the consciousness of the person. And so it's not like you're talking to a deceased entity where they might sound the same from one person that can bring them in or another. They sound different. And Daphne is more articulate, I think, and more celestially metaphysical. And, well, you'll know this, the difference. And is there anything you'd like to say from your human side, Daphne, to introduce yourself?
Oh, well. hello, everyone. Welcome to the call. It's 21st of December, and the world hasn't ended, but the world as we know it maybe has ended, I guess I would say. And thank you for coming. How's that?
Okay. Now, would you like me to call in the light again before you start?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Daphne, Terry, myself, and every one of you on this line that would like to make that connection, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst everyone present who would like to participate in that, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn it over to Daphne and those voices that are intelligences that are co-creating with her to bring forth this transmission. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. If you just give me a moment, please. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. The energy we are bringing forth this evening is the energy known as the Ra. Ra. Harmonic, we attune with your frequency. We perceive this time of the passage, this time of the transition, this time of the nexus, this time of the nodal point. We see waves and perturbations. We see flux. We see the consciousness, myriad conscious many consciousnesses of many sectors of humanity, which are vying for a collective reference point from which to launch into a new expression of what it means to be human at this time of the 21st millennium, the 21st century. What means this to be human in this time? Does it mean to still be shackled by the third dimensional constraints of polarity and dualistic consciousness and dualistic feeling of antagonism of one brother and one sister toward one another? And we say to you, no, the time of the duality has passed. The time of the old consciousness is gone. In this way, indeed, your world has ended. Your world view, your Weltanschauung, your Zeitgeist, it is different. It is wholly upturned. It is time for a new turn of consciousness, a changing of the guard. Your economic sector, your banking sector, your governmental structures, your educational structures, everything which is, shall we say, put upon by those forces which would hold power as dominion over others, and do not hear the egalitarian cry, the voices of the true needs of the people. These shall be up for refashioning in very large ways. We see, in terms of possibility, those restless times of the 60s being revisited in your culture, being revisited in the way of Martin Luther King and in the way of Robert and Jack Kennedy. We see these things as essential and probable possibilities. There is much room for good. There is much room for change. There is much room for honesty. There is much room for leadership. It means standing in one's truth. It means standing in one's articulation. It means standing in one's harmonious balance. It does not mean giving yourself away and deferring your own personal integrity, your own knowingness of source, giving this to others. Each and every person has the responsibility to own and to hone this for him or herself. This is a coming home of the Christ itself in each and every individual on the planet. There are waves. There shall be many waves. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It is 10:24, and we're going to complete this call with a planetary healing visualization. Just as we just did a personal healing visualization, we're going to do a planetary healing visualization. And you know, the fact that we're doing this and the manner we're doing this, to those of you who are listening for the first time, you have to be saying to yourself, can this be real? Did we just hear, you know, in our paradigm, there are two groups of souls that are the major players, shall we say, in the higher realms. The major positive players impacting our planet. One of the group souls identifies itself as the Ra group, and the other one identifies itself as the Elohim group. And they're different. They feel different. They speak different. And as you attune to our work, you'll start to understand the difference between them. The Ra group is a group soul that is made up of billions of graduates of this realm from the beginning of time. Billions of entities that went through multiple lifetimes in third density, just as we're in third density right now. And they graduated this realm, and they went through their evolution, not just into 4D, which is the heart chakra, but above that, into the wisdom, and ended up, at least as they describe themselves, as no longer having bodies, as being pure energy, and working as a team to help planets at lower levels of evolution like ours. And through the history of humankind, they have done many interventions here. Many people they've spoken with throughout our history. Oftentimes, when they spoke to someone, a spiritual movement got started. A religion got started. I'm not going to say which ones were or weren't, but I do believe that they were part of the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten. They were connected to Jesus. They were connected to St. Catherine. And they operate closer in than the Elohim group. And Edgar Cayce was channeling messages from the Ra group. If you've read Edgar Cayce, you know he had all these weird remedies for people. He demonstrated the ability to read past lives, diagnose people's bodies, almost omniscient. And in his remedies, which many people use, even many doctors today subscribe to his remedies, they were drawing on their own collective memory of all their lifetimes when these remedies had worked. And my first introduction to this idea of interdimensional communication, at least up close and personal, was through David Wilcock, through the source that was coming through him that aligned itself with the Ra group. And then I learned about a lady named Carla Ruckert, who for a few years of her life brought through a series of messages from the Ra group that impacted many, many people. This was in 1981, and it's available on Amazon. She has a website. Her books are called Ra, The Law of One, and Our website, if you want to write it down, is llresearch.org. llresearch.org. And she puts a huge amount of material up for no charge on our website, including all of her original Ra group material, Ra Law of One material. And Carla and I have developed a very deep mutual respect for each other and a camaraderie. And once a month, she's a guest on my Monday night calls. And we talk about the Ra material, information about how this group interfaced with our planet for tens of thousands of years. And this is all available to you for free. This is a PhD course we're giving you. And all you have to do is use your own initiative and go to our websites and take it in. And you will see how coherent it is and how it explains some of those things that we would normally think could never be explained. Some of these mysteries of life. And I hope you'll avail yourself to taking advantage of this. Now, of course, our sources, we have oftentimes, and this started with Terry, we developed a energetic affinity with the frequencies of these both of these group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group. And as Terry was saying, the voice that was speaking through her said that it was the Elohim working with the Ra group. So the difference between these two sources, the Ra group has certain wisdom about this realm because they have gone through your experience. They have been stuck here. They understand the pain and the suffering that can happen here. And the Elohim group also understands this, but they don't have the experience of being stuck here. They have the experience of observing it, feeling us vicariously. So the Ra group has more ability in certain ways to bring forth certain wisdoms that the Elohim group doesn't have. The Elohim group has the ability to bring in huge energies of transformation from the center of the universe, which the Ra group doesn't have. And we are blessed to be accessing both groups and have both different approaches available in our work, and it's all available for free online between my archive site, our archive site, which is called thespiritchannel.net, and Carla Ruckert's website, llresearch.org. And all you have to do is start studying it. One reason to study it is because there's so much understanding and wisdom in it. But even a greater reason to study it is because their energies are in their words. And as you read the materials, you can start to shift your own energy patterns, expand your own holographic field, and become a new you, or a new expanded you. You know, your old self doesn't ever leave, Even your hang-ups don't leave. They're still there. You start operating above them. It's like being in a skyscraper, and instead of being in the basement, you're at the top floor. Your vantage changes. Your awareness changes. And again, I say, never in the course of human history has there been the opportunity to make this change so quickly as right now, because of this energy that's coming in. And one addendum I'd just like to mention about the Ra group. Many people hear the word Ra and they identify it with Egypt, because Egypt used the word Ra as their name for God for thousands of years. And according to our materials, there was a Ra intervention on our planet 10,000 BC. And there were a lot of miracles that happened, and they actually manifested bodies that people could see. And the priesthood of Egypt tried to co-opt this intervention and use it for personal gain, personal aggrandizement, and control. And so they took the word Amun-Ra and used it as their name for God, since all the peoples had seen these miracles and seen these manifestations. So for thousands of years, Egypt was under the auspices of the negative that went by the name Amun-Ra. Then there was another attempt to shift this through this Egyptian pharaoh, Akhenaten, who declared all the Egyptian religions at the time illegal, because he knew, he got the knowledge that it was lesser than, it was negative. They were doing sacrifices. They were doing, if you're aware of some of the stuff that goes on today in secret societies and rituals, they were doing that. And that is not anything to do with our sources. So even the word Amen in so many religions use is derivative of Amun-Ra. So I wanted to clarify that, because some people hear the word Ra and they start studying it. They'll end up somewhere reading about Amun-Ra, and it is not the group's soul energy that we are affiliating with. So on that note, what we're going to do is take advantage of this group energy. We're going to go back to that place of the group energy of all of us combining our energies in another dimension, asking our sources to combine with us. Do you notice how something shifts when I say that? Do you notice how still the energy gets? Some of you can feel it in your room, can feel it moving through your body. So, when we do this, we have a very powerful force, and we can put things into this energy field and ask for transformations on every level. And when we do this, we are honoring free will, and we are operating on the principle for the highest good of all concerned. So, for example, honoring free will means we can't eliminate the negative. We can't ask people to drop dead. We can't override and change people of negative intentions. We can only inspire them to shift. Operating for the highest good of all concerned means we can ask for things, but we don't know the outcome, that all the ramifications of an outcome. For example, somebody might be sick, and that disease they have might be the very thing that they have called in to learn certain lessons. And even though they might be suffering, until they learn the lesson, it's not for their highest good to have that disease lifted. So, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, it was said that things were going to fall apart. Economic systems were going to fall apart. This was back when I was writing this in 2000 to 2003, and they said that was good because it was going to cause people to help each other in ways that they never would have if it didn't happen. And because people would help each other, they would open their hearts, and in the opening of their hearts, they would get the ticket to graduate this realm. So we have to look forward to those times. We have to look forward to rising to the occasion. We have to look forward to having the courage to cope and to create camaraderie and fellowship with people, because that will give you the wherewithal to go through anything. And the bottom line is that we're all going to die sooner or later. And one of the byproducts of connecting with this work is that eventually you stop having the fear of dying. You know that you're going to continue. You know that your soul never disappears, and it's going to show up again and again in whatever dimension it has set itself up to be in, to gain the lessons it needs to keep going. And as you make connection with these energies of these higher realms, when you die, those connections may not die with you. They get carried. And now, instead of having all your energies connected to the physical world, which is what causes people to keep reincarnating, your energies start connecting with the higher dimensions outside of the physical world. And whether you reincarnate or not becomes a choice. Now, many of you have already graduated this realm and chosen to come back. People come back because they love someone who's still stuck here. They come back to help them, or to help many people. Because if you didn't come back from the higher realms, and you just stayed there, this planet would be lost. It would be owned by the negative. And you have come to your time to shine right now. And what we're going to do is create a group energy. And we're going to direct that energy. We are going to surround our planet with that energy. Our planet has many dark spots on it, many places where there's the dark energy, the outcome of negative intents. And we're going to flow around those dark spots. We're going to move everywhere there's an opportunity. We can't see it, so we're just going to use our imagination that we're doing it. We are connecting with each other, and we are zip-zapping energy all over our planet right now in those connections. In order to make this connection, our energy fields have had to move through dark energies. We don't know that because it happens by itself. And as we move through, we are clearing those energies. We are making votes for the consensus reality of our planet to uplift and shift. And we are important. This shift is not just happening to us. We are part of that shift. We are the anchors of those energies. If no one anchored it here, we'd have worst-case scenarios. And by being on this call and tuning into these energies, you are learning something new, something you never knew you could do. Because when you ask, how can I be of service, there is no greater service you can do than to hold these new energies, anchor them, and radiate it through your body into the space around you, into the people. Right now, when you're making this connection, when we're dealing with these sources that are telepathic, they can feel you. If you feel comfortable, ask them to work with you. Ask them to help you clear patterns. You have to do it yourself, and they help. The Elohim once said it's like riding a bicycle. You have to put your feet on the pedals and turn the pedals, and then it's amplified into a much greater speed because of the way the gears work to the rear wheel. So if you were walking, you could only go so fast. But if you're riding a bicycle, you can go 10 times faster. So right now, we're riding a bicycle, and they're coming in. And as you get used to this idea, you'll start to understand as you pedal and ask for help. You start having synchronicities. You start having healings go on. And you change the vibrations of the physical earth you walk on. The more people that anchor this energy, the less devastating earth changes will be. The earth responds to it. You know, the earth responds to feeling loved. Imagine that what they've said is the earth has to release energy in the form of earthquakes. It has to because pressure builds up. And the more people that anchor this energy, the less pressure builds up. If you've learned to feel the earth and love the earth, and the earth is under you, and the earth is loving you, if the earth has any choice, it's not going to create an earthquake underneath you because it's loving you, and there's choices here all the time. You're making choices. The earth is making choices. The solar system is making choices. The universe is alive. It's alive. Everything is alive and making choices. And all you have to do is make choices that keep you moving over through the ladder of your own evolution. And we're offering some great tools for no money, 3 conference calls a week. It's not about learning things. You'll learn things, but it's more about getting used to feeling these connections, making it so it's second nature. Do you remember how one time you didn't have a job and you were desperate and you felt like empty and nobody paid attention to you, and then suddenly you had a job and you affiliated yourself with a great company, and everyone was friendly, and everyone appreciated you. And you know how you changed, and you started feeling different, and this is like getting an affiliation with a great company. except it's not a physical company. It's not in this world, which means once you make the connection, unless you screw it up, you never lose it. It's forever. It's for eternity. And you can do it right now. So let's just bless our planet. Let's send this energy as a healing energy to all those people on our planet that are afraid, that are scared. Let's send this energy to all those government leaders who may be operating with negative agendas and ask that they might make different choices, that they get infected with loving energy and they start operating out of compassion. The more people that hold this space, the more positive our future is going to be. The future is not locked in stone. If you're following prophecy, whether it's Jesus or Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce, there's no such thing as absolute determination because it is the consciousness of us that is the major player in creating the future. And now that you know this, you have responsibilities to do this. And I hope you all make that choice. I thank everybody for showing up today. And you didn't know what you're getting into, some of you who are listening for the first time. Take advantage of what we have to offer. Come back as much as you want. Daphne, are you still there? Hello. Terry, are you still there? Uh-oh, I think I muted them. All right. I'll say goodbye to you all on their behalf. And we'll be on George Norrie in about, what time is it? It's 11, about 2 hours. Not a long time, just 10 minutes talking about the shift. And I hope you'll listen in if you can, if you can stay up a little late tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. It's midnight in the Pacific time and 3 a.m. Eastern time. And wishing you all, if we don't, we're going to be doing another one of these grid healings on Sunday. They're all different, but they're all the same. And we're doing a call on Monday and on Wednesday, and they're all different. On Wednesday call, we ask questions, and we get answers and wisdom from the higher realms. On the Monday call, it could be anything. Sometimes I pick a topic. Sometimes Carla Ruckert is my guest. And our Sunday call is a personal and planetary session. Take all of you, take a moment. Shut your eyes. Feel that energy. Some of you can feel it coming in from the top of your head. You're getting it. You're making the connection. Ask for what you want. Ask for your own transformation and healing. Remember, for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will, ask for the love, the divine love, to shower this planet. Ask to be able to hold the energy so you can be part of that expression. And take a moment of silence. I particularly want to thank all of our volunteers. There's people doing transcripts, people sending out emails. This has gotten way beyond anything I can do myself. And people sending us donations, people buying little products that we sell, the people that have been coming into our calls regularly for years, even when there were six people on the call, and who were holding the energy so that I was willing to keep doing this, because I was saying, geez, is anyone really interested? For quite some time, it was hard to know where to start. So just lots and lots of gratitude for so many people, and in particular for all of you who are discovering us for the first time tonight. Thank you for taking your time and showing up, and we'll see you all next time.
Unmuted.